Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
I am your host, Maine, as always, with
Josh.
So, Josh, how's your week been?
Good. I just got back from bowling. Duckpin.
Awesome. Duckpin?
Yeah. You know, the tiny balls. That originated in Maryland. How about that? Fun fact.
Sweet. So, it's a pretty light week this week, to use a wine stock term.
Light week.
Light week. We only are covering Fight to Win Pro. Is it 64?
64. Yes, it is.
In
Colorado.
It was in Denver, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. So there finally Seth gets to go home for a week and have an event in his home country. Country. State. I forgot that Colorado was in the United States, Josh. My bad. Even though I just spent a week there like 6 months ago.
Oh, in his own home country. Enjoy. In the country of Colorado.
In the home state of Colorado.
In the year
so
2000.
So they had an event. They also ran their Fight to Win Pro, Fight to Win Nationals. And I love that they have platinum medals instead of gold medals.
Fuck yeah.
That's awesome. And Seth won like three platinum medals at that event, which I thought was pretty dope.
Yeah.
So we're going to be recapping that event. We're also going to be previewing ACB JJ 11 on March 3rd. We actually didn't forget about it this time, so we're going to preview that event as well as
Fight to Win Pro 65, March 2nd in Texas.
That's going to be a Friday night, and then ACB JJ is a Saturday.
And it starts at noon Eastern time, 9 Pacific.
That's not terrible, actually.
No, I'll be able to watch most of it before I go to work. It'll be great.
It's a good day.
Unless it starts like an hour and a half late.
Brazilian time, like the last one.
Yes.
So as far as news goes this week.
What's the news?
There's pretty much nothing. There's one thing. There's really one thing we want to talk about. Is that Gio and Ryan keep going back and forth with the Nicky match. And there's big speculation. But really, there shouldn't be any speculation because Gordon Ryan is now signed to ACB JJ.
And he'll get fucking murdered if he breaks his contract.
To put it lightly, yeah. Like, he can't compete in a super fight, in a paid matchup. He can only do amateur matchups until he has fulfilled his ACB JJ blood money contract.
Is that 100% true, or are we just talking out of our ass?
Josh, I'm terrified of ACB JJ. I love them for what they do, but they terrify me, and their contracts are like scary European contracts.
This is all Maine speculating, so he has no idea really what goes on. I know they probably wouldn't be happy if they set something up like that, but unless they have Gio over in there for a one-off thing, I don't think it's possible to work that. And also in somewhat speculative news is Gordon Ryan versus Vinny Magalhães, possibly.
Yeah, they keep kind of bouncing around on Instagram and other social media sites that will be the matchup because I think both of them are signed under the ACB JJ banner, so we could see that matchup. I know Vinny is on this next card this week.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what they're planning with that, if that's going to be gi or no gi.
I assume it would be gi, because I think Gordon's done with no gi.
I don't believe that. I still think he's going to do it. He's been teaching no gi seminars. Like, if you're doing the gi, you better be all about the gi. And then I saw something in passing about how he really isn't going to compete in the gi until 2019.
So he's going to give himself a full year before he moves full into the gi in competition. So
who knows?
But look, he's training it. It's cool. The thing with Keenan came out this week too.
The other week where we said he was getting fucked up by Keenan.
Oh, that was last week.
Duh. And yeah, obviously we were both not shocked at all that he fucks him up in the gi. Yeah. It's a wizard.
He is the wizard. So that'll do it for news this week. On to our breakdowns of Fight to Win Pro 64 in Denver, Colorado. So this event paid out $32,842 in salaries and commissions, which is a pretty good payout.
Indeed, indeed. We'll talk about the donating of money from all of the schools in there as well in just a little bit. So the teen results, Emma Soho defeats Selena Garcia by choke.
There's no H in there.
I'm sorry, I wasn't aware that you pronounce a J like Sojo. I'm going to assume that it's like a Hispanic name, and it makes the H noise.
Man, you really got me with that one, actually. In
you know,
hindsight.
Like Arujo, you know, but that's A-R-U-J-O, you know. You know, the J's just there. Hey, guess what? Sojo. She might be Sojo. I didn't see this match particularly, but I'm going to go with the safe route and say it's Soho.
Damn, Josh, you kind of went out on me there.
Suck it.
So that does it for the team results. She wins by choke, that submission of the night.
Because it's the only team match. Purple belts. Dan Dykeman defeats Derek Alumbaugh by knee bar. Trav Rivers defeats Johnny Knutson. He. Sometimes these posts get me.
So reading off the posts, and it just says Trav Rivers defeats Johnny Custon, and then it just says H-E-E.
He.
Doesn't say how, doesn't see decision, doesn't say, just says he.
He. I'm going to assume that's a submission. I'm going to just say it's a submission.
It's a he choke. He. It's a he choke, Josh.
Robert Parrish defeated Robin Salisbury by RNC. Andy Bernal defeats David Wenig by armbar. Louis Galt defeats Scott Carroll by armbar. Teddy George defeats Michael Costa by armbar. Submission of the night. Hey, look at all these armbars. Trevor Palmas defeats Eric Sains by kneebar. Austin Brinker defeats Jared Heyman by straight ankle lock. Jake Hartner defeated Sean Spear by decision, finally. Fight of the night. Corey Brenner defeats Daniel Pachares. Pachares. What are you going with, Mr.
Pachares? I had to say it last week, Josh.
Okay. So
when I recorded the names last week, I did it in probably 15 different takes.
Sweet.
Because I botched so many names.
By decision. And then Mo Black defeated Amy Montenegro by rear naked choke. That was a championship match.
Yep, and we're going to talk about that match a little later when we do breakdowns.
Brown belt results. AJ Trifonis defeats Cameron Thurgood by inverted triangle armbar. That was sick. Caught that. Matthew Joseph Cano defeated Jeremy Wina by decision. Eric Coe defeated Vance Barksdale by choke. Fight of the night.
It was Ezekiel. We'll talk about that. Yes. Tyler, Eric before.
Chris Mirzerwick. Mirzerwick? Oh, God.
Mirzerwick.
Very good. Defeats Joe Miles by choke. Evan Barrett. Sometimes I don't look ahead and I just see spelling errors. And he defatted Troy Everett by armbar. He defeated them. Troy Everett, that takes the cake for...
Night Pigeon?
Yes. Well, yeah. Awesome nickname. That takes the cake for best entrance. I'm sorry. The later entrance that we are going to talk about...
His entrance or Lovato's entrance?
No, Troy Everett's entrance was fucking great. And the way they set it up was fucking great. I was hoping to not cuss so much, but anyway, armbar, lost by that. Aaron Porter defeats Justin Tank by decision. Jenny LaFaro defeats Sharika Long O'Neill by decision. Matt Sierra defeats Casey Pratt by inverted triangle armbar.
Man, I called him Sarah all last week.
There's an I, Sierra.
Yeah, Josh, and I am not like a good reader of spellers.
a reader of spellers. Jeremy Hastings defeats Dylan Miller by armbar. Submission of the night. Bruce Bugbee defeats Dan Becker by inside heel hook. That dude was going hard for that, by the way.
Yeah.
And I like that his rash guard just said Bruce on the back.
Which is sweet.
Bruce. Nikki Sullivan defeated Vanessa Wexler by split decision. Moving on up to the black belt results. Will Grundhauser, who I nicknamed Grundy, like Solomon Grundy.
Grundhauser.
I'm going with Grundy because that's what I wrote down in my notes and it's easier to say. Defeated Sergio Castillo by decision. Philip Leitz defeated Brian Sparrow by decision. Fight of the night. Don Westman defeated Nick Brown by a steamer lock. Submission of the night. Jeff Ake defeated Lance Yeager by decision. Connor Hewn defeated, look, Grundy, William Grundhauser by decision. That's right, Grundhauser pulled double duty that night. That was awesome. Joao Assis defeated Elliot Marshall by decision. And Rafael Lovato Jr. defeated Tim Spriggs to retain his title by rear naked choke.
So we're going to kick off our breakdowns with Mo Black versus Amy Montenegro. This is a title fight.
Indeed it was.
Purple belt title fight. I'm not sure what weight class, Josh. I don't recall. And it's not listed on our event sheet. Just as listed as a no-gi title. So 155? Want to go with that?
I want to go with 129.7.
the prestigious 129.7 title.
Yes.
So this was for the 127.9 title.
You already messed it up.
I did, Josh.
So the other thing was, and huge shout out to Seth. He is incredibly fast with responding. I emailed him asking for a complete list of all of the title holders for Fight to Win. And his response was, wow, that's going to take a while. There's a lot of people.
Because if you think about it, you got title holders for each belt.
Let's say you got gi and no gi.
Male and female.
Purple through black.
So you probably got, let's say, let's go with 10. 10 divisions for black belt, for men's gi, then 10 for men's no gi. Then they do masters titles now, because Barry Yoshida competed for them. Then they do
women's titles
at each belt. So you probably have gi 40. You potentially have 40 plus champions at each belt.
There's a lot of people, and he said it would take him a while. But that also means he's going to do it. Thanks. I really appreciate that. Take your time. I'm in no rush to get it. When we do get it, we will talk about it and let you know all of their champions at the time. And we can put little C's next to their name. And Maine made a website, and we can put those up.
Shout out to the website. I made a website this week. It's a WordPress right now. We'll get a domain sorted soon. But we're going to put some supplemental stuff up on the website for other things we're doing. So there's another place that you can kind of get grappling news, get super fight news. Got a couple posts in the hopper right now for just information about super fight grappling on that site. So when we get that list, we will put that list up, and then eventually we'll figure out how many points, because Fight to Win does their championships by who amasses enough points. So there's information for that too.
So do I have negative points?
Technically, yeah. I think you have negative 10 right now.
Sweet.
I think you lose 5 points every time you lose.
Yes. Negative 10. Anyway, on to the actual action that happened. Mo Black versus Amy Montenegro. They were going hard.
Yeah,
going hard. Heavy on them tie-ups. Mo went heavy on the neck and snapped it down. And that was the beginning of the end. She went from crucifix to side, onto the back, possible armbar into the triangle, and tapped her. I mean, it was just bing, bong, boom. It was when you're really bad at pinball and you pull back the arm and it hits the ball and you whack the flipper and you miss it, and it's like you don't even get another chance. You suck at pinball.
Josh, that was the most roundabout analogy for this match I've ever heard of.
That was the worst analogy ever.
This is an audio podcast, Josh. You just made the listeners more confused as to how this match went.
No, it was really quick. It was it 2 minutes? I don't think it was even that long.
It was close. I think it was close to two. Yeah, there were some transitions in there, and you saw Mo, you know, take a little bit to establish her position and transition through the series to get where she wanted to get to.
The most memorable thing, other than how quick it was, and that she got a belt, was that they played John Cena's theme afterwards. Boop, boop, doop, boop.
That's like the only thing I like from pro wrestling, is I love that song for some reason. It just gets me hyped.
Because rap. That's why.
It is.
Hip-hop, whatever. It was, again, you know what else is cool? Flo has the videos up already.
Less than 48 hours after the event, Flo Grappling has the videos up. So if you want to go watch it, by the time this podcast airs, you can go rewatch this match. It was a fun match to watch. You had the crowning of a new champion for this 127.9 pound weight class.
129.7 weight class, get it right.
So I want to talk a little bit about the Eric Coe versus Vance Barkdale match. Interesting match. Trained with Eric before in Colorado. Good passer, and that was really evident in this match. You saw him repeatedly just pass, go to the knee cut, slide through Vance's legs, get mount, work from mount. At one point, he's working an arm bar. Eventually, he taps him with an Ezekiel from the mount.
Inside the triangle. Or transitioning off of that triangle.
Yeah, transitioning off the triangle. Just really flowy work. And then he gets the Ezekiel, and then the ref is somewhere on the mat, but we can't see him on the broadcast. And he looks up to the ref, and he starts yelling to the ref, he's tapping, he's tapping, he's tapping. And the ref comes over and like, okay, and stops it.
That's one of my gripes as somebody that does referee. The referee needs to be in the area fairly close and paying attention, because you might not always see the tap, but if he has to say he's tapping more than once, you're not close enough.
Yep. One of the things Fight to Win actually changed a couple events back was if a guy yells, it's no longer a tap. A guy has to say tap, because they had an event, I think 3 events ago, where a guy yelled out, but it wasn't a tap because he didn't yell tap. So he got his arm busted a little bit, kept going because it wasn't a tap. It's, again, it's a change of the rules. Josh is shaking his head at me.
If you're yelling, you're yelling. I'm going to don't be a fucking idiot. If you grab my fucking arm and you're like, arr, and I, you know, do the aye or something like that, the match is over. I'm going to stop.
It's a verbal
it.
Tap. So they changed the rules. So your referee has to be close, and his ref was a little far away. And it looked like Vance had sort of an asthma attack.
He did because he was doing the universal give me my inhaler sign, which is, you know, the little L shape and pushing down on the canister. It's hard to, you know, I'm doing it in front of me. And it's like, great. Nobody can see what the fuck you're doing. But he was doing it. And then the commentary staff talked about it all goddamn night.
Yep, they did. But Eric's trying to get the belt now, which I think he's 4-5-0 in Fight to Win. He's been on it since like Fight to Win 4.
Give the man a shot.
Give the man a shot at the belt. The current belt holder, I don't think it's defended in a while. So, or if at all. So give him a shot at the belt. You know, he looked super dominant in this performance, and I think it merits him getting a shot at that belt.
So let's talk about the actual best entrance of this night's Fight to Win, which was Troy Everett. You know, Seth got on the mic and he starts announcing. I'm like, this is a weird way to announce this. I'm confused. And I'm like, wait, is he doing a Price is Right entrance? And then the music kicked in and I got really excited. And Troy Everett came down in the goofiest looking rash guard, that's hard to say because I've seen a lot of goofy ones.
You've worn a lot of goofy ones, Josh.
Donuts isn't goofy. The guy wearing a donut shirt.
The
is
way
great.
You wear it is goofy, though. No,
yeah, because my fucking gut was popping out. Yeah, then it's goofy.
It was. So he comes down in the Price is Right with the name tag, the giant name tag affixed to his rash guard.
That was awesome. He runs around. And slapping everybody's hand.
Yeah, I'll give you that. This might have been the best Fight to Win Pro entrance of all time.
It was good. And he started out on top.
He started out looking good. And then the match kind of took a bit of a turn.
He got swept. And Evan Barrett took over from there. The pressure that he was just forcing on Troy was, wow. I mean, he was really working it. He was crushing it and just kept moving and moving. Transitions over eventually to a triangle, to an armbar, and back to the triangle, armbar, triangle, armbar. Yeah, there it goes. I had to sort of remember it. He went triangle. Couldn't finish it. Went to armbar. Couldn't finish it. Went to back to the triangle very briefly just to get the arm free. And as the triangle was getting defended, Evan just pulled out the armbar and finished the match. Still a great match. Another one you should watch for the entrance.
Watch it for the entrance. The match was good. The entrance was top of all time for Fight to Win. I think we had the dance entrance on this card as well, which was, we'll talk about
that.
We'll get
to that in just a moment.
And we had Lovato's entrance, which I think was one of the most badass entrances Fight to Win has ever put on.
He's apparently a Super Saiyan.
Dude, I'll believe it after this. But that'll be in a little bit. The next match we're going to break down is Vanessa Wexler versus Nikki Sullivan.
This was all over. Flo was like, this is the best goddamn entrance ever. I beg to differ.
That was not interesting.
There was a dance number.
Wasn't Genki Sudo.
No,
it wasn't. It was GB.
You ready? Verbatim from my notes. What the fuck am I watching? There's a fucking dance number. Like,
if you get a dance number, you got to come out like Anderson Silva doing the Thriller. You got to go like Jason Miller with 47 women in Asian schoolgirl outfits dancing while he does it. You got to come out like Genki Sudo with like the whole headdress and like
the dance number
crowd.
Just has to be better.
Yeah, that it was a little interesting. I have no words for what I was watching.
I didn't like it. I'm gonna be straight up. I didn't like it.
Look, if you do a dance number as the competitor, you got to be part of the dance number.
You know who's a dance teacher that we could get somebody to choreograph one of those?
Who is it?
Lee's wife.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. The more you know.
Yeah. I bet you she would choreograph a number for somebody. We should do that.
I'm not against it, Josh, as long as it's good.
Yeah, as long as it's good.
So on to the jiu-jitsu portion of this of this match.
Really quick double pull. Well, sort of, you know, somebody's butt touched the ground first, but...
But there's no point, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Sullivan came up on top, and it was a weird position where there possibly was a foot across, but it got weird. And then Vanessa came on top looking for a mounted triangle, and you were like, this is really weird back and forth already. Are we going to finish? What are we doing? Sullivan went onto the legs, went from knee bar to a possible calf crank, and then got on top. From there, it just got more tanglement, more back and forthing. You know, Wexler shooting over that leg reap, the whatever you want to call it.
Inside Senkaku, Josh?
There we go.
A leg entanglement, as EBI likes to call it?
Yes.
A leg entanglement to a leg entanglement?
Yeah. So Sullivan actually ceded the top position to work from guard, which was very interesting, too. She was up top, and you're like, all right, here she goes. She might go passing through. She was, nah. And just went back and worked from guard, which was fairly interesting at first. And she went right back to the legs and onto the knee bar. And as there's a transition going where Wexler is looking to pass, I thought there was going to be a bulldog choke, which would have been awesome.
It looked like it was kind of like the setup was there. I didn't think she had enough kind of leverage on the back of the neck, and she hasn't turned as far as she needed to go to really be in a bulldog choke position. Also, I was just going to say you don't see a lot of women finish bulldog chokes, but in all honesty, I think you see women finish bulldog chokes more often than men do nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I would say that. That's an accurate assessment.
Yep.
So Wexler, you know, pops up and tries to step through, and Sullivan immediately goes back onto the leg. Deep Ashi. There we go.
Ashigarama. Which literally is Japanese for leg entanglement.
See.
Like, I hate that. It's not descriptive at all. I hate that.
Ashi sounds better than leg entanglement.
Yeah, though. It does, but it doesn't mean anything different.
So again, lot of footsie. You know, it got creeped over to foot fetish area. a knee bar almost got fully extended from that. It was super, super close.
Yeah, it was good. The position looked good. She looked like she just didn't quite have... she looked a little high on the knee. It's the only thing looked like.
And Wexler went for a Dars from there. While her leg was still caught up, she went for a Dars. I was like, oh, what if we got a double tap? That would be sweet.
Because it looked like she had the knee. It was a weird position. It's, again, why I like watching women grapple, because you get positions and hip positions that men usually can't do. And so her leg was all the way out extended. This is a position that you could have a guy in, but you just see these positions more frequently in female grappling. And so she was extended all the way out in the leg, and she goes, I can grab your body. I'm going to try to darse you. And so she has the leg extended. She doesn't look like she has the leverage because her shoulders are turned up and kind of sideways, but she's going and scooping underneath the heel, trying to turn over top of the leg so that she can get it, and then she gets stopped by the darse, basically, is what stops her from turning into the knee. So you have this double position where they're both one sitting on the knee bar, one sitting on the darse.
Yes, eventually both are lost, and Wexler goes for sort of a Japanese necktie, possibly Peruvian. I don't know.
Yeah, Japanese necktie is when you basically do a darse, but you've got like the gable grip instead.
Yeah.
It's like that you're going to neck crank to push them down into the pocket and then slide through for the darse, but you can finish it with like a neck crank hand grip.
And Sullivan rolled out of it afterwards and ends up on top in reverse half. More leg grabbing. Everybody's just trying to finish, and I appreciate it. I love when you're looking for the finish.
Time was running out. We don't have a ton of time. Like, go for broke on the sub, because Fight to Win is looking for subs. They're not looking for dominant position. They are looking for who is trying to sub more, and then a defended sub makes it good. If you have to start defending the sub, that sub is worth more. So people are looking to throw up legitimate sub attempts.
Sullivan ends with the inside Sankaku. Look, we're hitting all of the verbiage here with the leg entanglements. and the match ended. So it was close. I had a feeling it would go towards Nikki just because of more going for subs and more sub attempts.
She had more sub attempts, and I think she had more sub attempts that had that required defense, which is big for Fight to Win Pro. I think that's really what it is. She had more that required Nikki to defend the sub.
So she won a split decision, which I felt was fair. I didn't think it was going to go unanimously either way. And she is the new brown belt no-gi champion at 131.4 pounds.
Do you mean bantamweight, Josh? 135?
Yeah, same thing. 131.4, whatever.
Honestly, technically it is bantamweight, so I want to give you some shit for that, but it is within the weight class.
Suck it. It's above flyweight at 125, so it's not flyweight. 131.4 champion too. Guess what? She's the 126.1 champion as well. All of those weights up into 135.
Are technically bantamweight. Yes, Josh. Boom. That's how weight classes work. So she is the new champion at bantamweight.
So let's get into some black belt action. Sergio Castillo versus William Grundhauser. This was Grundhauser's, or Grundy as I called him during the match. That was his first match before he pulled double duty versus Connor Hune.
Yeah, somebody dropped out. I'm not sure who dropped out, but I know there was a dropout.
Yeah, and good on Grundhauser for taking the match. I know sometimes they just try to put stuff on the fly where they're like, this guy dropped out, you know, his ankle itched, so he can't do it, or whatever. Somebody got sick night before, day of. Stuff happens.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, you get 30-plus matches on a card, like, one of 60 people might drop out. Like, it happens. That's not unreasonable at all. So, you know, props to him for pulling double duty tonight. This is his first match versus Sergio Castillo.
So Castillo was really quick for the guard and immediately goes for the arm. And I was like, oh, snap. Is this how this is going to go the rest of the night? Are we going quick? Are we trying to just bang through these black belt matches? No, he missed it. And Grundy, again, as I will call him, or Will. Will or Grundy? Which one do you want me to go with? I'm going to say Will.
I think Will is more respectful. Grundy, sure. It might be that Simpsons thing where...
Or Solomon Grundy, you know, from Justice League. It went over your head.
Oh, over my head, Josh. I have no
Solomon
idea.
Solomon Grundy. He looks like Frankenstein.
No. No idea, Josh.
Meanwhile, at the Legion of Doom, nothing?
I know that from a joke, but other than that, Josh... This is not jiu-jitsu at all.
I'm dating myself.
You're not that much older than me, though.
Still, I know these things.
So, William.
Yes, Will, heavy with that knee pressure coming through and just immediately steps through to half. But Sergio, to his credit, was like, I'm going to try to choke him. So, he's racking up points still, technically, with fight to win criteria for submission attempts. So, he goes for it, doesn't get it. Back to the knee through the middle for Will, and he just smashes down into half. Just
really, really good pressure passing there.
The best way to explain it was apparently,
which made a lot of sense, Josh. I'm not going to shit on you too much for that.
It got knocked back into guard, and Castillo again climbs for the arm. Didn't get it fully. Grundy passed. I'm going to call him Grundy because I have it in my notes and sometimes I peek up at them and I'm like, oh, it's Grundy. Will passes. There we go. And Castillo immediately turtled. So Will...
It's the ad.
He got the ad. Yeah, okay. So Will starts fishing for a clock choke. That, I got really excited. I love the clock choke.
You don't see him a ton either.
Walid Ismael, somewhere in Brazil, was like, yes, clock choke. He just knows. He knows it's happening.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, please do it. It didn't happen. He was upset. It's fucking bullshit, as he would say. So it was then a quick transition over, which was smart on his part. He didn't really try to go heavy on it. Will went for the Kimura. So Castillo pops up like, yeah, this is a great position to pop up. I'll come up on top. And Will hunts for the armbar. He's like, I'm going to get this. So we're sort of tied on submission attempts, but all of Grundhauser's submissions looked way more dangerous than what Castillo was doing.
Everything that Grundhauser put up, it looked like, ooh, this is like something he's going to have to defend in like his legitimate sub. And Castillo just didn't have as many subs in this match that looked like, I'm not going to say deep, but required as much the level of defense that the ones that Will was throwing up required.
So Sergio ended up on top in guard, and that's where it stayed for the last 45 seconds to a minute. And William Grunhauser took the unanimous decision after that. Watch this whole card. This whole card was really, really good. It was excellent. You know, this is shout out to all the people of Colorado for coming out and really putting up a show. Last time they did a show in Colorado, I think it was as equally as exciting.
Yeah, all their Colorado, and that's their hometown. Like, the guys they put on their Colorado cards are from that community, put on a show. They understand the rule set. They understand what Fight the Wind's looking for. They understand what the crowd is looking for, and they come to perform. It's awesome. I love watching their Cali cards, and I love watching their Colorado cards for that reason, because the guys they get on the shows come to put on a show and come to finish. I'm not sure what the submission percentage is, but we will have it later in the show, what this card was. I think it had a pretty high finishing percentage.
I think it was well above 50%. Yeah.
So on to our next black belt match, Phil Leitz versus Brian Sparrow.
This is where I really start to take notice. Maine had been messaging me, but I wasn't fully paying attention to it because sometimes it becomes background noise. The commentary team was wild, and not in a good way. Not in a bad way, but not in a good way. It was more amusing than anything, but it wasn't informative.
Yeah, it wasn't on. They were doing that thing where they got a little story time and they'd kind of just talk. It was like two bros watching jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, and there was a Reddit thread that popped up where somebody was complaining about it. They were like, "This is terrible." And other people were jumping in and saying stuff about it. And a few people that were like, "I've done commentary for Fight to Win before, and apparently it's supposed to be more leisurely, more back and forth,
more casual
conversation, less play-by-play. But I think there's a way to work that to where it sounds casual, but it's not just
bantery
where you're sitting on the couch eating potato chips, watching football or whatever you're doing.
It got a little like that. I think this was a match that really showed through that. It was like, hey, this is like, I would love for the commentary to be added, like adding and like, and talking about the match, not necessarily like in depth, like, you know, like a UFC broadcast, but like what's happening, why is he doing it? You know, then tangentially, you know, when they're in like a, not a stalling position, but like a pause position, talk about other things, be casual. But when there's action happening like that, in my eyes, that's the point of commentary. It can be casual. You can do casual play-by-play. Oh, look at him. You know, look at him grabbing that lapel and, you know, turning the angle. Oh, yeah, that's a really interesting way to do that. You know, you can make it casual. It doesn't have to be he's grabbing the lapel, he's lifting, he's turning. But if you start getting too casual with it, it's two bros watching jiu-jitsu, and I was with three bros watching jiu-jitsu, so we were already having our own commentary.
I was talking to one of those bros the next day about the commentary, and he was like, they were kind of bro-y.
That's one way to put it. So enough about the commentary, Josh, unless you got something else to add.
No.
On to the match.
So Sparrow was real quick to pull guard, and Leitz was flying past it. You see what I did there? Sparrows are fast.
I see what you did there, Josh.
He was flying. Yeah.
Look at that. A bird.
Clever. I am clever.
I wouldn't go that far, but really. You know.
That was essentially the entire match. Phil went on an arm really quick and early into the match. Brian's arms were like rubber. I was like, ooh, armbar, done. This match is already over. Nope. He just pulled it out, came up on top into the guard.
He was escaping his elbow really well. Every time you see him get the arm, you'd see... Like, you'd look, and whenever someone has an armbar, I always look for where their elbow is. And, like, is it past the hip line, or, like, how far is his elbow? Like, how close to their hips are the opponent's hips on the shoulder line or on the shoulder?
I just hate really, really lanky people. Maybe because I'm jealous that I'm so short.
Josh, I'm 5'6". Don't even talk to me.
I'm only 2 inches taller than you, and I have way stubbier limbs.
You do. You are a stubby, stubby individual.
I have tiny little sausage hands. Like... Don't talk to me about, I'm only 5'6". Yeah. You can still be lanky in 5'6".
You're right.
This guy was just tall and giant and lanky, and I hate him.
But he kept escaping the armbar, and it was really interesting. You'd see him, and again, black belts, like they know how to do things. You'd see him get the armbar and start to extend it, and you'd see the elbow get walked down very, very like towards the hip, so that once the armbar got extended, there was only like a 2 or 3 inch gap to make to free the elbow, and he'd free the elbow every time. And it was just impressive to watch him Oh, the armbar's getting set up. Oh, it's close. Oh, man, he's got his elbow out. He got his elbow out. And it was kind of a repeat thing in the way he was escaping that I thought was very, very technical and very good to see.
Yes. So a big takeaway from this was Phil's game planning against Brian. He stayed really low and compact the entire time, which helped him with his passing. When he popped up and opened up to be to full length of his body, he got around his guard relatively easily. But if he was down and low and in, he couldn't get lassoed or spider guard, caught in spider guard too much. He was there, but he would back up, lower himself. At one point, it looked kind of sketchy where he could have gotten triangled, but he just stayed there and then danced around the guard. And he went full on the attack after that. Arm onto the back, onto the arm again. After coming off and losing that position, Sparrow ended up on top, and Phil was using spider guard and De La Hiva very well. He wrapped up an omoplata, came up with a sweep. Sparrow looked to pull him into his legs for a possible triangle, and he just postured and kept himself super tight. And that's where the match ended, where Phil took the unanimous decision. In the notes, like, it was written out, I'm really digging this match. It's a good one to watch, a good almost study type, to where if you're a more compact person playing against longer, lankier guys, this is a good thing to watch.
And you saw him stick to his game plan. I mean, yes. It looks like he never got overextended. He never got overzealous. Like, everything was controlled, because you're dealing with a guy that has a long, that has like reach on you, that has length on you. And if you're in the same weight class, like, that's always my nightmare. Like, the best guys in jiu-jitsu typically are longer and lankier guys for their weight class. Like, the stocky short guys are the exceptions. So these kind of matches are really interesting to see, because you see how somebody deals with that.
Bruno Malfi-Sane.
Yeah, they exist. DJ Jackson, like, the guys exist. But I'm saying, you know who you see? Rafa Mendez, Keenan Cornelius, list other tall, lanky guys. Like, they're Leandro Lowe. Fuchsia. Like, they're all long, tall, lanky guys. Herbert Santos.
I was about to say that one, too.
Yeah. They're all long, tall, lanky guys. You don't see a whole lot of short, compact guys, you know, at the high levels, just because it's a body type that is less conducive to, you know.
I mean, sometimes it helps. Hulk. Ooh, I'm sneaking him in. I like it.
Wagner Hosha.
He's kind of lanky.
We had to say him, Josh. He's not lanky, but we had to mention every podcast.
Good point.
Had to slip in there under the wire.
We need to get just a straight-up Wagner Hosha sponsorship. We don't need anything from him. He's just like, he randomly will pop up and send us a picture of him giving the thumbs up, and we can just post it to social media.
We just give him a podcast shirt, Josh.
We could, but he's going to be like, what the fuck is this? I don't care. I just want the pictures of him giving the thumbs up. Hey, that's it.
Cool. So, Phil Lentz wins unanimous decision.
Leets.
God.
On to a follow-up quick match. Nick Brown versus Don Westman. They're on the feet jockeying for position for a little bit. It's going back and forth, coming in tight. It didn't look like anybody wanted to go to the ground at first. Then Don pulled really quick and went on the leg. And you're like, ooh, what's going to happen? Nick jumps on a leg too. And then it becomes like an untangling game of people battling back and forth. And Don won the untangling game and heel hooked him. And it was fast.
Yeah, I actually had to go back and rewatch this one, because I had...
Were you making macaroni and cheese?
I was not making macaroni and cheese this time, Josh. I might have been eating fried chicken.
Simon's, right?
No. I was at my buddy Josh's house, and Simon brings fried chicken when he go watch his fights. Yeah.
What are you doing, Simon? Rule 7. Come on. You bringing fried chicken?
I'm not making weight. It's awesome.
Shouting out people that not even paying me. Come on. Now you got to pay me, Simon. $15 PayPal. Quick match.
So I had to watch it. It was good. Good leg entanglement and untanglement. And quick heel hook. So on to the next match. Lance Yager versus Jeff Ake.
Yager. They even said it. Yager. Like Meister, but without a J.
Like the drink?
Yes.
All right, well, Yager. Lance Yager versus Jeff Ake.
Like the machines in Pacific Rim.
Yager.
Yagers.
I mean.
They called him Yagers.
Josh, I've seen
even the German guys called him Jaegers.
Josh, what you want from me? To pronounce names correctly? That's not what I do.
Yes.
Give me a couple episodes. Yourself. I'll get better at it.
This is 16. We're at 16.
And we are.
We're in double digits. You still can't pronounce shit. Like Ayrshire.
Ayrshire Grappler. Yeah. Shout out to Ayrshire Grappler.
He let us know how to pronounce his name.
Ayrshire.
Ayrshire.
Which is a place in England.
Obviously.
Yeah, I knew that, but like I didn't know how to pronounce it. So shout out to him. He put out some good content this week as well. And we learned how to pronounce it. I learned how to pronounce his name. Josh, I think, was actually pronouncing his name correctly before this.
Sort of. Yeah, probably not. But anyway, quick guard pull. Ake. Boom. Hits a sweep. Says boom out loud. Not really. Ooh. So he's on top and starts mashing in with that shoulder pressure to pass. It was awesome.
It was pressure passing.
It was great. It was great. Jaeger sat up very briefly and got pushed back down. Ake starts just putting his hands in and grabbing collars, and Jaeger attacked the arm off of it. I was like, oh, snap. And then it went back to guard. I get really excited. If I'm in my computer chair and watching this, I get really excited. If I'm in bed, I'm fighting to stay awake because I'm an old person. Even if I'm watching something that interests me, I'm old as shit and I'll fall asleep. So back to open guard. Ake goes back in with the pressure, coming in with a knee slice, almost comes through. You're like, you can do it. Go. Passes and settles. Pops up, more pressure, looking for collar. You know, there's a lot of bouncing around. And Jaeger actually ends up on top after an Ake armbar attempt. Starts again looking for the collar choke. This was a very back and forth match. It was.
At certain points, it looked like Ake was like pointing him out. Like, oh, he'd get the umbrella. He'd settle, get the points, move on to the next position.
Yeah.
But it was, you saw like active work from all positions for both competitors, and it was fun. Like, this was a fun black belt match because both of them were going really hard on subs, and they weren't doing that thing where they sit in position and like hold, and you're waiting like, okay, is he going to move? Is he going to escape? It was like hold position, get your points, move to the sub, and then defend the sub and like shoot up your own sub off the defense.
Yeah, these guys were moving.
Yeah.
But you could sort of see like a point style leaking into it. Jaeger went for a foot and seated the position. Ake transitions for a knee bar and it looked super deep. He ended up on top too, which was even better. It was like, all right, he's going to be on the bottom. But he ended up on top. He went for legs and arms again. But Jaeger escapes, goes for a front headlock, and Ake comes up with it. Ake comes up and around with it. And Jaeger grabs a baseball bat choke, and I was like, oh, shit. Is he going to put him to sleep? Are we going to have like a Majid Hage moment? Because that looked deep.
Yeah, it did.
Really deep. From bottom side control, no less.
Oh, by the way, if you don't know who Majid Hage is, he's a dude that is known for the baseball bat choke.
I mean, the dude's Instagram name is Gorilla Hands. Got big ass
Look,
hands.
Look, Josh, we do an informative podcast. The listeners might not know who this individual is. Like, you blaze through Waleed Ishmael. Like,
if you don't know who that is, you better fucking type his name in YouTube right now and watch that Waleed Ishmael versus Hoist Gracie match.
He was the first professional jiu-jitsu competitor. He had a gi that looked like a race car gi because it had so many sponsors on it. He was the first professional jiu-jitsu fighter.
I definitely wouldn't say that. I don't believe that for a goddamn second. He just had a lot of patches on his gi before they were like, we're going to make a rule that you can't have that many goddamn patches because his gi was practically made out of patches.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Watch that match on YouTube. It's great. I threw myself off. It looked deep, but Ake got out. Ake goes for me. I really hope that's his name. Ake.
It is. It was also just Jeff Ake.
Okay.
It's throwing me off.
In
hindsight, I actually didn't hear the commentary staff pronounce it, so
I don't trust them anyway.
Mr. Jeff, if your name is not Ake, we apologize, but it's A-K-E is the way it's spelled out.
Ake.
Ake.
He ends up in three quarters
mount. Should be Ake.
Ake Bono? Sumo wrestling reference.
Yep.
But gets pushed back to half and then into guard. Ake, again, looks to pass, falls for the straight ankle lock. End of match. Ake took it unanimously. I agreed with it.
Yeah, I agreed as well.
I think Jaeger agreed with it too, honestly.
I mean, it was definitely a good back and forth match, but I just thought Ake in the fight to win rule set in the decision making process did more to win. And so he gets the decision. Good match. Go back and rewatch this match. It was a lot of fun.
Just watch the whole card. I'm not going to keep saying go back and watch this because all of them were worth watching.
Yeah, it was a quick card too. It wasn't that long.
It went definitely past midnight.
No.
That's past my sleepy time. Did it?
I can't remember. I was home by like 11 something.
I don't know.
Maybe that was the UFC.
It's probably the UFC.
On to the next match.
So back, Grundhauser back versus Connor Hewn this time. Connor Hewn is a 10th Planet guy. I think he wasn't before, but he's repping them now. And he is he's the black sheep of the 10th Planet system because this guy was all about Russian tie-ups and control and heavy pressure and nothing fucking wild. If you were like, is this 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu? Because apparently it's just regular Jiu-Jitsu.
Damn, Josh.
No, I'm sorry, but like you didn't see any of the things that are typical of 10th Planet. He was on top, crushing.
Yeah, he was.
He was wrestling, which well, you don't see. And there was nothing wild until like the end of the match. And, you know, William was doing his, again, he just competed earlier in the night.
And like a couple matches ago.
Yeah.
Like not even like a while ago, like a few matches before this.
And if I was Connor, in my head, I'd be like, you decided to take this other match. Fuck you. I'm going to try to beat your ass. You should have been prepared. And Connor came heavy with Russian tie-ups, trying to, you know, arm drag, tapping at his knee, just going back and forth. And he actually yanked him down by the wrist at one point.
Yeah, that was super impressive. I was like, damn. Like, A, it's a timing thing, but B, it's like it's a committal to that drag.
Yeah, he just yanked him down and then just got smashed down. He, again, knee slide. You don't see those by 10th Planet guys. You don't see
no
knee cuts. They will abandon position and try to do like a weird rolling back take. And this is the entire match, mind you. This is all condensed into, you know, a really quick recap. Connor dominated the entire match. He ended up at north-south near the end of it and finally got knocked over, and William came up on top. And this is the only time you would know that Connor was possibly part of 10th Planet was he started doing rubber guard. He started pulling the leg up for that control. That was the only time. And again, I'm not knocking 10th Planet, but you're seeing something that you don't normally see out of their competitors. And you see them a lot on Fight to Win, and you've been seeing them a lot, EBI and all these
guys
other
are younger, and they compete a lot. They get a lot of super fights. Eddie has his own organization that showcases 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu.
Sometimes you got to play Donkey Kong on dudes' domes.
I found my Donkey Kong bongos today, Josh.
God, you
and
you
my
guys,
GameCube.
Guess what? There's going to be a live stream of that. We're going to be talking about jiu-jitsu and playing Donkey Konga. One thing I'm going to say is I might try to triangle main and play Donkey Konga at the same time. Not on main's head, but on the actual bongos. And that's going to be streamed. We're either going to do it on Twitch or do it on YouTube. I don't know. But it's going to happen. I guarantee that. So Connor Hewn wins that match by unanimous decision.
So one of the co-main event, we had Elliot Marshall versus Joao Assis. I'm getting better with the names, Josh.
I didn't clap into the mic because I know you would have freaked out about that.
I would have freaked out, and I was so happy about that. It brought me joy.
The one thing that brought me joy about this match was that Catherine Perrette came out with Joao Assis.
With her giant smile and dreadlocks.
Giant smile. And again, as we talked about before.
Checkmate.
This shit just makes me happy, you know. If you have an awesome smile, here, send us pictures of awesome smiles. There you go.
This is for the super heavyweight title.
Yes. So Joao Assis is the super heavyweight no-gi champion. I wonder if they followed the IBJJF standard of super heavyweight or if this is just a no-weight class and they consider super heavyweight everything above heavyweight.
I think they do follow the IBJJF weight class, and I forget why I think that, but I thought I was looking this up. When before we emailed Seth for the champions, I think I looked at their weight classes and what they mentioned, and I think it's IBJJF, but in hindsight, it might be MMA, because now I'm confused, actually.
Well, super heavyweight is everything above 265, right, and that's but why I'm neither not sure. of those competitors are above 265 pounds.
Right, and that's why I'm not sure now, because I thought they'd use IBJJF, but now I'm confused.
We'll figure it out once we get that list. No rush, Seth.
I don't know if I've seen an ultra-heavyweight match for Fight to Win Pro. I know I've seen heavyweight and super heavyweight.
They might have called it heavyweight
or super heavyweight. I think it listed as heavyweight, and that's why I'm not sure. So
we'll find out eventually. So,
and then we will let you all know when we find out.
Yeah. One thing about this, and it was brought up in commentary, so shout out to them for that. Elliot Marshall's guard recovery is fantastic. It is great. They were like, it's hard to pass his guard. And even if you do, his leg is back around and in front of you before you know what's going on. And that's what happened. Joao went for double unders after Elliot sat down. Pass. You know, he's starting to go. He gets stuck in half briefly and passes. Elliot just like switched his hips really quick. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, wow, he's back in guard already.
Yeah, that was impressive as shit.
Yeah. And you may know Elliot from, well, you've seen him, of course, on Fight to Win cards, but
same with UFC. Joao.
So you might think, oh, maybe this guy does more punchy-punchy than grapple-grapple. But he is a very high-level black belt. His guard retention is ridiculous.
Yeah, that was evident. Like
his recovery, not his retention, his recovery. There we go. His recovery is ridiculous. So it was a lot of that. And Elliot would go to guard and then get to half, and Joao would go through. And Elliot threw up some rubber guard as well. Joao fell for a leg, goes for a straight footlock, which we've been seeing a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Like people trying to finish those. And then
we've seen a lot of people go for like stuff that was out of the metagame. That wasn't like, we're seeing guys go for straight ankle locks, X chokes, collar chokes again. Like we're seeing guys go for everything now. Like if it's a sub, like we see Estima locks. We see, yeah, like we are seeing guys go for everything. We're seeing twisters, and I think the credo of like, oh, this is what I do now, it's like I'm an armbar guy, I'm a this guy, it's like is kind of leaving, and guys are realizing, oh, I'm gonna take, especially in Fight to Win, I'm gonna take whatever I can get. If you give me the straight ankle, like I'll take the straight ankle. If you give me, you know, the twister, you give me the, you know, Estima, I'll take that. You give me the Ezekiel, I'll take that too.
Yeah,
I think that's one thing I do like about Fight to Win is you're starting to see submissions that you didn't see as much. You know, if a guy can throw up a really good Ezekiel, he'll throw it up and Fight to Win.
Yeah. So even though these matches were, you know, 10 minutes long, this one seemed to just zip by. Maybe it was me. Maybe
no, it was getting, definitely, it was fast.
They seemed to zip by. So they hit a stalemate briefly, and Joao went back to passing. Elliot eventually gobbles him back up into full guard. And then started going for a go-go plot. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I was impressed. But I was like, oh, is he going to? Because it was legit.
It was
like,
close.
Threat. It was, he was starting to turn, get the angle. I was like, oh, snap. He might actually.
Because he went for it twice. The first time it was kind of, and then the second one, I was like, oh.
Yeah, he made adjustments on the second time, and he started to get that foot in front. And I went, oh, this is actually, Joao's going to have to defend this, which he did.
Yeah, and then that ended it. The go-go ended essentially the match where it was there. Time ran out. Joao took it and is still the champ. Great, great showing by Elliot Marshall, his guard recovery. I'd love to see him compete more at other places as well as Fight to Win, but I want to see him compete more outside of that realm, in different organizations, in gi and no gi, just to see his guard recovery with the gi on and just against other people. And Joao Assis is not a slouch, so
no,
that's saying something about Elliot Marshall.
And look at his performance in the Europeans. That's the most recent thing we've seen him in, outside of Fight to Win, and he looked great at the Euros.
Yeah. Tim Spriggs, Rafael Lovato Jr.
The main event of the evening.
The main event of the evening.
This is a heavyweight no-gi title match.
Rafael Lovato is not a heavyweight. I don't think he's
a heavyweight belt, Josh.
He's not even a light heavyweight. Like, I'm saying that dude now walks around at maybe 203 pounds tops.
Dude, he was jacked at the weigh-ins. Like, what is he, 30?
I think he and I might be the same age. I think he's like 32.
Oh, is that young?
I don't think he's very old.
Dude, I had him at like 38. Why I had
Jesus
him at that age.
Christ.
Dude, I have him as like Jacare's age and like Verdum's age. Because because you're a world champion that fights in MMA.
No.
All those guys are like 40 now.
No, I think at most he's like 32, 33.
Okay.
But
yeah, he looked jacked at the weigh-ins. And Flo Grappling put out one of the most badass promos I've seen for Lovato's match this week. It got me hype. He looks like a Super Saiyan. And they have, at one point in the promo, a lion jumping across the screen. I'm like, this is not really relevant to jiu-jitsu, but it was awesome. And,
oh, he's 34.
Okay, he's 34.
He'll be 35 this year.
Awesome.
So you were, I was closest without going over. Price is Right rules. I win.
Okay, and I predicted Everett. So, yeah, this is a great match. And Lovato comes out to a badass walkout. They had a picture of his head, like multiple,
doing the Super Saiyan thing. Where
multiple heads, like, on the screen, like, flowing out of each other and using a hand motion that no one can see. And go watch this walkout. Go watch this whole card. We're going to say it again. Go watch this walkout. This walkout and that Flo Grappling video got me hype for Lovato.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I mean, I've been heavy on Lovato for a long time. I remember when, I think he was one of the first dudes to release something that was jiu-jitsu related as an app for your phone. And I had his Omoplata series on my phone that I paid for. Not the free version where you only got a couple of things. I paid for it and got the whole Omoplata thing. You know, again, it's only the second American to win the world championships. The most decorated American jiu-jitsu player,
I mean,
I would say.
You forgetting Drysdale?
Drysdale's Brazilian.
Who am I thinking of? Not Drysdale. Wait, you have Penn, you have Lovato, you have Musumeci, and you have...
No one.
Lovato.
Male-wise.
You have Lovato.
You already said Lovato. Penn, Lovato, Musumeci.
Who's the fourth?
There isn't a fourth.
There is a fourth.
Who's the fourth?
I looked it up last night.
No
way. To
win
an argument.
You're fucking wrong. End of story. There's only three actual Americans at one. BJ Penn, Rafael Lovato Jr., and Mikey Musumeci. You can't say any of these other people's. Every single other person that has won a world championship from male, by the way. There's technically female Americans that won it as well.
Many. It's
two or three at most.
Which is many.
That's not many. That's like two or three. If you look at the breakdown of all of the champions, they're not American, okay? And all these other people from different areas are not American.
Look, I'm just saying, they're listing Wikipedia, which is my go-to resource for jiu-jitsu information.
Guess what? Drysdale is not fucking American.
He's listed
Brazilian.
As American, I'm just
He's
saying.
Brazilian.
And Gerard Wilco is listed as Angolan.
Yeah, exactly. Very trustworthy. I could change all of these right now.
I mean, you could, Josh.
I could go in and change all of them to say that they are from some former Soviet Union country.
One of the stands?
Yeah, like they could all be from Kazakhstan. How about that? Or Barbados. Or, you know, all
I'm
from
saying,
Ohio.
Josh, I get my information from Wikipedia, which lists four male world champions from the United States.
You're wrong, and that bet you took was incorrect.
Look, Simon and Josh don't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, okay. When they listen to this and you get a text message like 10 minutes after they hear it, they're like, hey, guess what? Fuck you. You were wrong. You're wrong.
All right, so moving on to the match.
Lovato, to no surprise to me and possible surprise to everybody else, stayed on his feet for an extended period of time with Tim Spriggs.
Again, it was a no-gi match, which we see Spriggs do that train wreck throw principally in the gi.
Yes, but he's also super aggressive with his takedowns. But
yes,
what has Lovato been doing?
MMA.
So you know he's been wrestling. So he's all right. Nothing bad happened to him on his feet. But Lovato was also thinking, I'm going to make more money if I win by submission. What should I do? So he immediately eventually, there we go. That's
he jumps.
He jumped guard and shot up for an omoplata. He didn't get it, and that is why Spriggs went for his double unders and settled for half guard when he couldn't get all the way through. Lovato sweeps by pushing off, like clearing space, and snaps up a leg and stands up with it. And I was like, man, I wish I was that tall and could do that.
Again, another tall, lanky guy.
I was super jealous. Super jealous. Jiu-jitsu envy. He put Spriggs into half guard. And from here, it was all Lovato. He grabbed up this, body lock, I would say. We'll go with body lock because you know who else used that BJJ scout when he was talking about Yuri Samos?
Yep.
In his video that he just released.
Just came out today, actually.
Shouting people out left and right. But he had a body lock in and Spriggs was just stuck. He was eventually, you know, started digging to try to get an underhook. He finally gets it. Lovato abandons the body lock and just goes into this pressure, shoulder pressure.
It's super tight, passing. Like no space. Not giving Spriggs any space to move whatsoever. Lovato is just glued to him on top.
And
it was amazing to watch the level of like stuck to Spriggs that Lovato was, because just there was no space. And Spriggs tried to make space, and Lovato just would not budge, but he was still climbing up.
Yeah, he continued to climb up and started to come through at that point. And Spriggs was like, well, I'm not having this guy on top of me, and goes to turtle. And Lovato just started shaking him, rocking him, moving him, grabbing for wrists, reaching underneath. And after a little bit of jockeying, he jumped up on the back and immediately locked up a body triangle. Spriggs stood up the first time, and Lovato, being long and lanky and having the ability to do this with his limbs, still with a body triangle, and straightened out his other leg and hooked Spriggs's opposite leg.
Yeah.
To just stalemate the position.
Basically to stop Spriggs from like really moving around a whole lot. Like Spriggs can't shuck him off because he has the body triangle, but he's so long. But Lovato is so long that he can pull his outside leg underneath the first leg and through towards the center on the opposite leg and get it behind Spriggs's knee. And it stops a whole lot of mobility because as soon as you go to walk and move, your leg gets pushed out by the body triangle being underneath of it.
Yeah. So Lovato then starts peeling at Spriggs's face, just yanking and pulling across, trying to get it. And Spriggs went back down to prevent all this from happening.
And that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah. So they eventually start pushing over towards the end and they reset them back in the middle. Spriggs turns over, gets onto all fours and starts to stand again. And Lovato, that's when he starts the choking process. He was switching back and forth, you know, just swimming the arms underneath.
And then as soon...
Go ahead.
And then as soon as Spriggs stands, Spriggs goes to all fours and tries to posture up. With his left hand, he posts up to get on all fours and stand. And he begins to stand. And because he does not have his hand close to his neck, Lovato takes his left hand and shoots it over and under Spriggs' neck on the hand that Spriggs is trying to stand on.
So, actually, Lovato grabs that wrist and starts choking with the other hand. And it actually gets addressed.
Okay.
And he swims it back underneath and Spriggs peels. And that leaves that tiny little opening for him to weave that arm through one more time. And he starts choking his face. And you're like, oh, shit. And he hits him right at that jawline.
Yeah, when you start to push the teeth and the bottom jaw, basically.
Yes.
You hit the bottom jaw and it pulls. And you feel, if you've ever been like rear naked face cranked, or like it's not even crank, it's like
it was
across,
still below at the jawline, so it wasn't as brutal or mean,
but it's still super, like, because it pulls the jaw into your body and you start to feel the ligaments of your jaw stretch, and it's a very uncomfortable sensation. I've been finished by it, you know, a bunch of times. Like I finished in a recent tournament this way, and it sucks. Like you try to block it with your chin, and you're trying to push your chin out but keep your neck
never
low.
Block the choke with your chin.
I didn't have an option, Josh. Like I was here in literally the exact same position that Spriggs was in here, and I was like, I got nothing else. They block with my chin and try to push it through. And the guy went, oh, cool, and did exactly what Lovato did.
Lovato pulled way back more until Spriggs didn't even pop up his neck. Lovato just sank that pressure in so much that it just sort of bypassed the chin by itself and went right to the choke. It was a beautiful finish. And Lovato won by rear naked choke and retains his title. But the whole series, that whole event from the initial back take all the way to the finish, which was like 2 minutes long.
Very quick. To use what the commentary said, beautiful.
It was. And God damn, did they say beautiful a lot. It was weird.
They called a lot of people beautiful. But this was a beautiful finishing series. And it was just, you saw what a world champion do. And he do it well.
He do what he do because he can. So I do'd it.
Yeah, but it was amazing. Go back and watch this match. Go back and watch particularly...
Stop saying it.
Like a broken record.
Watch the whole fucking card. What a great card that they put on. Amazing work by everyone involved. The competitors, the team that put the card together. Flo Grappling for not dropping the fucking ball on the streaming.
On the uploads.
On the uploads. Bravo for that. Keep on that.
It was a good week.
Yes, it was a good week, and it was short for us, and here we are trying to make short podcasts, possibly, and that's not going to fucking happen again.
So this card had a 57.57 repeating.
I'm going to say 58%.
58%
submission
rate. I'm
just going to go 58%. Damn near two-thirds of the card was finished by submissions. There were 30 matches. 19 were finished. If we had one more finish, it would have been 20 of 30.
Look, man, we're going to have a 100% finish rate card.
I called it. It better
fucking happen. In 2018, it's going to happen.
But that is much higher than the usual. That's awesome. Again, these people brought it. They wanted those submissions. They wanted that extra cash.
Yeah, I put on my application for Fight to Win Pro Maryland today. Actually, no, sorry. Yesterday.
Yesterday, and doesn't know which email to use and put in an email that he doesn't regularly use.
Yeah, that happens.
Man. I did not apply to it this time because I have IBJJF DC the week before and I don't have a lot of time work-wise to deal with that, but I am going to try to possibly ref or throw my hat in for commentary. If you don't want me to do that, please, you know, at Grappling Rewind us. And let us know. Keep that motherfucker as far away from the microphone as possible.
That's why I did not apply to do commentary. I applied to try to slam someone and knock him out. That'd be awesome, Josh.
I hope you do that.
That'd be my goal, man. I'm hoping.
I hope you do that. Submission or slam KO.
That's what I'm hoping, man.
So that wraps up Fight to Win Pro 64 in Colorado, the country of Colorado.
Colorado the country, Josh.
Colorado the country and the capital of Denver. The capital of the country is Denver now, even though I don't believe it is. What's the capital of Colorado, the state?
I think it's Denver.
Is it Denver, Colorado?
I think it is.
Again, you know we're retarded. We're open about how stupid we are. So, obviously, Colorado is a country, and Denver is its capital.
So, moving on from the geography portion of this podcast, onto some upcoming events. This next week, we have ACBJJ 11 in Barcelona, Spain. I actually didn't say it right because it's Barcelona or something. It's how they pronounce it.
Well, that's because the way they speak Spanish, they have
sort of
a
Spanish.
Lisp.
Castilian Spanish, Josh.
And apparently, other Spanish-speaking people make fun of them for that from what I've heard.
Yeah, we have Fight to Win Pro 65.
In Texas.
In Texas. In Texas. So this event is main evented by a 150-pound black belt gi match. We have
Edmacion Marias. I don't know. Marias sounds better, but I like Edmacion. That is a sexy name. Versus Garrison. Atigue. We're going with Atigue.
Atigue.
Okay, Atigue. 150 black belt gi match.
200-pound black belt gi match. We have Michael Alexander versus, same thing from last week, Lance Yeager.
Female black belt welterweight title match.
170.
Good job. Natalie DeJesus versus Nivia D'Souza Mora.
We have a 225-pound black belt gi match. Alan Shabaro versus Ooh.
Ryan Sandhagen.
Sandhagen. 215 black belt gi match.
Michael Madeley versus Luis Rubalcava.
Man, these names are... Oh, we're in Texas, aren't we? That's why. 205 black belt no-gi match. We have Kyle Ramish versus Sebastian Black.
I'm glad you could at least say that.
I got one. 175 black belt gi match. Jonathan Hunter versus Justin Downing. We have 180-pound black belt no-gi match. Keith Miner versus Michael Foster. 165-pound black belt no-gi match. Dustin Akbari. This is this year's Wagner Hosha versus Sam Snow. 160-pound black belt gi match. Chris Story versus Eddie Sines. 155-pound female brown belt no-gi title match. We have Chelsea Lyons versus Liz Foster.
I think that's Chelsea. Oh, my bad. Yeah. I think they spelled it wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's Chelsea. But I'm going to go, just in case, covering our bases, Chelsea. Anyway.
We have 155-pound men's brown belt no-gi title for Mateus Gabriel versus Joseph Tonch. We have 160-pound brown belt no-gi match between Thomas Gettle and Travis Clark.
That's 260 pounds.
What did I say?
160, just like I think you just said, brown belt no-gi match title match, and it's a gi title match.
That is correct, Josh. Mateus Gabriel versus Joseph Tonch is a brown belt gi title match. My bad.
All good. All good. So now it's a 255, almost said 25, brown belt gi match. Jason McGill versus Carlos Silva. 215-pound brown belt no-gi match. Buddy Roberts versus Rustin Brown.
You almost said Dustin, didn't you?
Yeah, because that's what I'm used to seeing, and apparently this guy's name is Rustin.
We have a 200-pound brown belt gi match, Monty Edwards versus Dulces Flores. We have a 200-pound brown belt gi match, Dave Matthews versus Mike Anderson. A 190-pound brown belt gi match, Dakota Ranallo versus Justin Wood. A 185-pound brown belt gi match, Jay Shellhammer versus Jay King. That's not going to get confusing at all.
In the notes, it's just going to say Jay and Jay. And then, no, somebody's getting called Shellhammer. Shellhammer versus King.
Shellhammer's a badass last name.
So is King, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
165-pound brown belt no-gi match. We have Francis May versus Bo Montier?
Montier.
155-pound brown belt no-gi match.
I'm excited. Say it.
Jadio Bastula versus Fernando Salas.
Jairo Bautista. Sorry, Jairo. My co-host is a moron.
You're not wrong. We have 140-pound brown belt no-gi match. Fat Chow versus Alex Guerrero.
Like Eddie or Chavo.
That makes sense. 130-pound brown belt gi match, Henrique Rossi versus Vinny Sines. And then after that, we are on to the purple belts. There's a number of purple belt matches on this card, as well as a teen blue belt gi match and a yellow belt no gi match.
Looking forward to it.
So that will do it for Fight to Win Pro previews. Now on to ACB JJ 11. And if you want to find information on this event, your best bet is probably Instagram, because their website doesn't actually list the card. Under ACB JJ 11, you have to click on tickets, and then in the info section of the event details for the Ticketmaster and Eventbrite, that's where they have all the matches listed on the website.
And it starts at 6 p.m. local time in Barcelona, which again is 12 p.m. Eastern time here, 9 a.m. Eastern Pacific, West Coast.
That's not confusing at all now, Josh.
Nope. But if you're in the area, it's at Palau Olympique de Badalona. There you go. I can speak.
Palau Olympique de Badalona.
You almost screwed it up, too.
I did, Josh. Only took 7 years of Spanish. Do you think I'd be a little better at this point?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Another banger card.
Yes, this card seems to be shaping up to be a great follow-up to ACB JJ 10.
Which was one of the greatest jiu-jitsu cards of all time, as far as like names on it.
As Robert Drysdale said, who is apparently, you know...
American?
American.
Run to Wikipedia, Josh. That's where I get all my info from.
I'm saying he's Brazilian.
So this has a title fight on it. Davi Ramos versus Edwin Najmi, and this is a 75-kilogram match.
This is a rematch.
What do you think about it, Josh? Who do you think takes it?
I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, Edwin took the last one. I mean, this was on ACB JJ7. I think it was the same weight class, 75 kilograms. And this
was... Yeah, that's where he won the title originally.
Yeah, this is a great... I remember watching it back when it first aired. It was amazing.
Davi came after him like he stole his lunch money.
In the beginning of the match, yeah. He slammed him down. They almost went off the stage at one point, and it was a great
Edwin was called Wobbly.
Match. Yeah.
Probably Estima called Edwin Najmi Wobbly. That was...
He's so wobbly, is how it sounded. It was great.
It was a very good descriptor.
Yeah, go back and watch their first match. It will give you good information as to why this is the title fight and the main event on this card, because it was a good matchup back then.
And again, more than likely, it's a no-gi match. I'm assuming because he's only champion in the one weight, not both of them.
Right, and our what we're looking at here doesn't list any gi or no-gi, so I'm not quite certain.
Yeah, they're waiting. They are 100% waiting for, you know, you to do all the information searching. We can make some speculative guesses. I'm going to say most of these matches are under the gi rules, and then this main event is no gi.
I have no idea, Josh. I'm looking on Instagram, and it again does not list them on Instagram like that either.
So you're going to find out next week, just like we are, which these matches are, but that's fine, and it's fairly easy to figure out, or roughly figure out, what's going to be what. I'm going to say... 95% of these matches, sans maybe like two of them that I can look at with my eyeballs, are no-gi. So starting off the event is Rodrigo Corporal versus Marcelo Mafra. What a great way to start the
start
the day. You know, both of these guys are super active competitors. You know, it's... God, if this is just as hype as the last one, it's going to be very exciting, and we're going to talk a lot about it. The follow-up match is the follow-up. The next match, Tomoyuki Hashimoto versus Maiko Arujo at 60 kilos. You're going to see some wild transitions. I think they're setting up a lot of matches to push towards title fights.
Yeah, that's definitely the vibe I get off of this card. You just look at who they're matching up, and I definitely get that vibe.
Yeah,
from this card.
And you're seeing some people that maybe they haven't popped up a lot, but it's going to be, you're going to see them a lot on here.
Well, they have good matchups too.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that looks like a fun match. I want to see how their styles match up here. Oh, that'll be interesting. Like, that's what I like about ACB JJ's matchmaking, is they have really brutal matchmaking where it's like, all right, let's see how you do against this guy. Let's see how you do against this guy.
Yeah.
It's like, damn.
So next match is Samir Chantry versus Laercio Fernandez, 60 kilos. These are fire matches. There's nothing where I would think, this is just going to be a complete blowout. Next match, Kim Tara, Kaio's brother, versus Isaac Döderlin. Isaac's a beast.
Yeah, we've seen Isaac recently, I think. I forget what we saw him on.
It was at Europeans.
Okay, that's what it was.
It was at Europeans, and where we speculated that he would go to the finals, and we were way wrong.
Yes.
Kim Tara, also a game competitor who used to be much heavier, and it came down to 65 kilos. So interesting to watch. This is the one match where I think it could possibly be no gi. Vinny Magalhães versus Moku Kawai. Kahawe? I'm really sorry for
Moku.
Butchering. Yeah, Moku, who used to be under Andre Galvao. I know he was
he
there.
Used to be. Where is he now?
I can't remember 100%.
But he left, didn't he?
I think he did, unless he just split off and formed his own team and is still technically under him. But it's so much work getting and finding these things out. Anyway, they're going against each other.
There's been some talk back and forth between Vinny and Gordon that there's speculation that they're trying to set those two up for a match under ACB JJ.
We'll see.
Be interesting. Again, Vinny's competed in the gi before.
He's done both, yeah. So he could be doing whatever. This is at 95 plus kilos. So everything above 95 kilos.
Big boys.
Yeah. The next match, AJ Souza, great guard player, great, you know, omoplatas, triangles. The guy's a mover and a groover. Mikey Musumeci was one of his training partners while Mikey was out there in Florida. The guy knows the stuff. You saw him in the, you know, brown belt comp, the Lloyd Irvin thing, the brown belt kumite. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
He's a great competitor. He's a mover and a groover versus Arnaldo Maidana.
Name sounds familiar, but I can't.
You're thinking
of
the boxer, Maidana.
No, not Maidana. I'm thinking about this guy. I just cannot place where I've seen him before.
Yeah, sometimes we just look at it and we're like, what? And then we see them and we go, oh yeah, that guy. So that's at 85 kilos. Looking forward to it. Maine, you want to take a stab at that one?
I want to say
Daud.
Adven.
Adaev
versus
Luan Carvalho.
as I butcher his name.
Luan Carvalho is probably one of those random dudes that the ACBJ, God, that's so hard to say.
ACBJ gets
the ACB guys. No. And you're like, who is this? And it's some random guy. And then he comes out and beats the shit out of somebody.
Oh, we look at a Czechoslovakian wrestler out of nowhere. You're like, who's this guy? Oh, cool. With the bowl cut like I got right now? Awesome.
Yes.
Russian haircut.
Yes. Oh, here it comes. We might be treated to something beautiful. We might have a really, really good match, or our favorite friend might show up. Victor Honorio versus Herber Santos at 95 plus kilos.
And again, we'll see what Herber shows up, man. He was smashing Wardzinski at ACBJJ10 in the first round. And then Herbert Santos took over and he tapped to rib and neck injury, allegedly.
I don't know what it was.
In mount. Just like he tapped to Langacker and Europeans from a body, from like a teepee triangle. So we'll see. Like Herbert, when he's on, looks basically unstoppable. And
when Herbert shows up, he's obviously stoppable.
So we'll see if he's fixed his injury or what's going on. But that is a fire match that I'm excited about.
Yes, indeed.
About.
Yes, indeed.
Then we have Lucas Rocha versus Alex Cabanes.
75 kilos. Again, I'm so excited for this entire card. You know, it could be a whole bunch of names that I have no idea who they are. It could all be Daud Adaevs and people like that, and I still bet you it would be super exciting.
Because ACBJJ, they put on good matchups and they get high-level guys, and I like their rule set. I like their production value. Their commentary is professional.
Sometimes. People are called Herbert.
I'll give you that.
Next match, Bruno Frazado versus Gabriel Marangoni.
65 kilograms.
I love Bruno Frazado. He is an awesome person. My buddy Kenny loves him. They've been friends for a while. He went and trained with him. It was... he went to an amateur fight here with him and Felipe Costa, and I sat behind them and I was kind of an asshole for this, but... it was amusing because somebody else was doing it to them as well. As I would tap on his shoulder and they would look over and it would be like, what is this guy doing? You know, I was like,
why would you do that, Josh?
Because I was a 25 fucking year old idiot.
Josh, like, I'm 26, man, I think. But like, how are you doing that 25 to world class jiu-jitsu guys?
Because you're a fucking moron and you do those type of things, you know? What did I have better to do? I was straight edge. I didn't do anything else, so I had to amuse myself some way. It was between this and somebody. Oh, my buddy Eric was sitting next to me, and he was also doing it. That's what it was.
Josh, the story's not making you any better.
I know, but I'm also putting the blame on somebody else, so it makes me less of a piece of shit by like 6%.
I give you that.
No, they were really good, and they were really cool and talking, and very friendly guy, very awesome jiu-jitsu player. Looking forward to that match. I'm still salty about his match versus Justin Rader, where he air quotes, lost. He ran away with that match. Next one's going to be a barn burner. Michael Lange versus Marcio Andre, 75-kilogram match.
Damn.
Yo.
As Josh says, boom.
Boom.
Yo. Josh, how do you think this match plays out?
Michael Lange winning.
I agree, but how do you think he wins? What do you think? You think he decisions him? You think he gets points? You think he...
I think he's going to outpoint him, and he may hit him with some of that sweet, sweet spider guard goodness and triangle choke him.
Ooh, I could see that, actually.
Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting match because, again, Marcio, he goes up and down in weight a lot, you know, going from, like, featherweight to lightweight, and sometimes it works out for him and sometimes it does not. I mean, it worked out great for him versus Edwin Najmi in the first, like, 2+ rounds, and then Najmi weathered that storm and then choked him.
That's kind of what Najmi does. Well, Najmi weathers the storm and then, like, gets you.
Or he flying triangles you in 10 seconds.
That happens as well.
Yeah. So, next match, Claudio Calazans versus Jan Cabral. Another barn burner of a match.
Yeah, 85 although, kilograms.
Claudio didn't... I don't know what was up with him last time, but he, you know, he sort of looked like he got speared when he tried to do that guard pull. And
I mean, he looks like he got speared. He kind of, there's one way to put it. He sort of looks like he got speared. He got speared. Like,
he
didn't get
speared. He pulled guard and the guy just, yep.
Yeah.
I've always been a fan of Claudio's. I do that wrist lock that he does that he beat. Missed the half guard guy from Checkmat. I'm blanking on his name right now. This happens to me all the time when I'm trying to make a good point.
It starts with an L.
Lucas Leitch. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. He wrist locked Lucas Leitch at Pants really quick with that at 2011, 2012. You can find it on YouTube. You just type in Claudio Calazans wrist lock, Lucas Leitch. It's there. I love that wrist lock. I love that he plays a lot of guard, even though he wrestled for the Brazilian national team. He's a high-level judo player. The guy plays guard. Jan Cabral, also another, like, beast mode guy. Tough takedowns, tough guard work, tough passing. Like, these matchups are great. They're just working it very well. Semi-main event. Co-main event.
I think co-main event is the way to put that, Josh.
Yeah.
The semi-main event.
Shut the fuck up. It's getting late.
It is.
Otavio Souza versus Isaki...
Benahis. Isaki Benahis. That's how it's pronounced. 85 kilograms.
Are you sure it's that?
Yes.
Again, they're going to say it on this, and I'm going to be like, it was this. Bahanes or something like that.
Oh, yeah. No, they pronounced it weird last time. But I think it's Isaki Benahis. Unless maybe that's what you were saying, and that's what I went with, and that's what's in my head now.
No, yeah, because I was always saying Isaki Benahis.
And Josh, his name is Isaki Benahis now.
Okay.
I'm sorry, like, that's your name.
To us, that's his name. Look, until
he corrects us like Ashar Grappler was nice enough to do, his name is forever Isaki Benahis.
He's not listening to this. He's like, you guys are insignificant. I don't give a shit about you.
I mean.
He's like, say my name wrong. I don't care. You're dumb white people.
He's not wrong, though, Josh. He's not wrong.
True.
So... Again, this whole card is, we've said it over and over and over again.
It's such a good card. Isaki has been on a tear. He's a younger guy. Otavio Souza, you know all about Otavio Souza. Come on. You know about it. This is going to be a very interesting match. Guard work will be at play. Flying around will be at play. You know, somebody might throw a spirit bomb. I don't know.
Look for fireworks in this one. So this whole card is... outstanding.
From top to bottom, this is a very exciting match. I mean, card.
Yeah. And it's Saturday. So, and there's, I don't think there's another event that we're covering Saturday. So, awesome. One event on Friday, one event on Saturday.
So easy on us. Not smashing three of them in one day.
And then we got Pans next week. The week after that, which is going to be.
The following week, yeah.
It's going to be days of.
Several days. You're getting a lot of black belt coverage unless you're like, hey, this is me. I'm listening to you guys. I'm going to be on mat 8 at 3:45 p.m. Eastern time. Watch it.
And then we'll go, all right, we'll watch
it. I'll watch it then.
And we'll talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're like, hi, I tagged you guys. And then you have to, we'll hold up to it. we will hold up to it. If you add us in any way whatsoever and you say, I'm going to be at this match, this is my tentative go time, we will try to watch as many of those matches as possible. And we will cover it. And we will cover you nicely, even if you lose horribly. Or if you win spectacularly.
Sweet. So what we're trying to do coming up is four pans. Again, it's not this week. It's next week. Josh and I are going to try to do some kind of co-commentary or like, I don't want to call it a fight companion because it's not going to be that.
It's not that. But we might live stream what's going on. We'll tell you like, hey, this is the time that we're at right now. You can follow along once you watch it or whatever. You can go back to it.
I mean, it is a fight companion then, basically.
We'll post it out there. You'll be able to follow it. You'll see us. We're very ugly. And you'll be able to get our take on what's going on. You'll get our, you know, crude brain reaction to these things.
And it won't be edited.
It won't be edited. You'll see all the ums and ahs and booms we are.
And how good of an editor I've become over the last 10 years.
Not really. Anyway, back to the event. Title match. Davi Ramos coming for that title that Edwin Najmi holds. He took it from him. I don't know what to expect. Davi, I expect to come in heavy and try to run him off the match, and Edwin trying to fight that off.
I expect it to be what we saw in the first match at ACB JJ 7.
I think Davi is going to try to capitalize, not to go back and fix those mistakes and just keep the pressure and keep moving. And if he continues to do that and stays on his P's and Q's about it, he can take this title away from Edwin. But if he gets caught slipping, Edwin is like the king of those micro moments where you fuck up for the briefest second and he just comes at you.
He just capitalizes. He can make the smallest mistake a match-ending mistake in a split second.
He is also not very tall but has the longest limbs in the world.
Yeah, again, long, lanky guys.
He's
not tall, but he's lanky, so
his
he can get around
you. His arms
are
ridiculous. His fucking torso is also ridiculous too. He's so like jacked up.
Yeah,
it's wild. It's a great move. I know he was struggling when he was going down to featherweight to do that. I'm glad he decided lightweight is the best way to go, and he's not a small lightweight either.
No, not at all.
So this will be really interesting from top to bottom. Watch it. It's free on YouTube, ACBJJ YouTube page. Watch it. We will. You'll see our faces at some point. Maybe. We're going to do a little bit of commentary for this too, but it may or may not see the light of day, depending on how we work this.
We're not quite sure yet. So that'll do it for our preview section.
And that pretty much wraps up this week's episode. Again, shouting out Ayrshire Grappler. We said it right twice. We're special. Check out that new match study that he just released. It's Rikako I can say Ayrshire now, but I can't say her last name. I'm going to call her, they call her Lasso Wizard. I'm terrible. Versus Patty Fontes. It's a brown belt match. The angles that he found for this match during when he put it together, holy shit. Like going back and forth and the wizardry that's happening on my screen, amazing. And you know, we're a big fans of Patty Fontes too, but now I'm a big fan of Rikako. God damn it. I can't say anything right. Anyway, check that out. Go to BJJ Scout's website. Check out his study on Yuri Samois, his no-gi passing style. Another good thing to use. Again, body locking to pass. It's great.
He had a really interesting section on how he gets the leg weave. Again, it's both of which are fantastic pieces of content. If you've watched this week's events, go back, watch these, work on your own jiu-jitsu, and these guys put out fantastic content. So it's there. Watch it as well.
And other than that, that wraps us up this week. As always, you can email us at thegrapplingrewind@gmail.com. You can check us out on Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, and pretty much anywhere you can find
Facebook
podcasts. We're on Facebook, Grappling Rewind.
Instagram.
Grappling Rewind.
Twitter.
Grappling Rewind.
Reach out to us on social media. If you got something that you want us to cover, you want to clarify, you know, we are here.
You
want to
tell us we're idiots? Hey, let us know.
You want us to pronounce your name correctly?
Let us know. Subscribe. Subscribe on the YouTube page. Leave us a review.
Helps us out a lot.
It helps us out. And, you know, it eventually will help you out. We like to give back. We're doing this as something that isn't done. So help us help you. Again, as always, I'm Josh.
I'm Maine.
And this is the Grappling Rewind Podcast.
We'll see you on the mats.